Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
So when this story that we read in Galatians chapter 2 actually takes place in more detail in Acts chapter number 15. And Acts chapter 15 is the telling of what is referred to in the book of Acts as the Jerusalem Council. And what they're doing is they're having this discussion about what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved by grace through faith because of the Lord Jesus Christ? And there were those in the church that were teaching that what it means to be saved is, yes, you must believe on Jesus, but you also must abide by these certain rules, by these certain laws. And so they were adding to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should neither add to Jesus Christ, nor should we take away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, death, burial, and resurrection, man, that alone, belief in that alone, is what we need to know and to believe in order to be saved. And what they're talking about is not necessarily a bad behavior. It is neither good nor bad in order to be circumcised in and of itself. But these behaviors became wrong when these behaviors were linked to a belief that by doing these things, you were earning favor from God. These behaviors are not wrong in and of themselves, but these behaviors became wrong when these behaviors were tied to the belief that if you do these things, then God will somehow give you more favor, or God will somehow show you more acceptance or love. Man, we stand before God by grace through faith alone. That's true for you and that's true for me. And this is the gospel that the Apostle Paul has been preaching what's now 14 years. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem. So he's saying, I've been preaching this for 14 years among the Gentiles, and now I'm headed back to Jerusalem in order to communicate to them the gospel message that I have been preaching. And there is this group, this minority group that's risen up among the church, this group of Jews who are very loud, this very loud group who has massive problems with the gospel that Paul has been preaching. So Paul goes back to Jerusalem and he has this meeting with James and Peter and John, who were the leaders in the church at that time. And Paul lays before them the gospel. He says, here is what I'm preaching. Here's what I'm saying. So he's saying, check me out. Just see if what I'm saying is true or wrong as it relates to the scriptures. He brings with him Barnabas, who was originally on staff at the church of Jerusalem. And he says, here's a Barnabas. Listen to his testimony about what I said. He brings Titus. And he says, here's Titus, who is one of my converts. You listen to Titus. Hear what Titus has to say about the gospel and about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does three things. I mean, you have an outline so you can follow along with us. But three things are accomplished in this meeting. Notice number one, the examination and the results. The examination and the results. So the Apostle Paul says, here is what I've been preaching about Jesus. Here's what I've been teaching about the person of the Lord Jesus in all these different nations and in all these different languages and in all these different cultures and cities. Here is what I've been preaching. Now, listen to what I've been preaching about Jesus and you tell me if what I am preaching is right or wrong. And this is what I love about the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul does not submit the truth of the gospel to anyone. Look what he says in verse number 2. I went up by revelation. So why did Paul go to Jerusalem? It's not because the Apostle Paul is being called into the principal's office. If some of you were called to the principal's office often, I already know that, right? The Apostle Paul is not being called into the principal's office because he's in trouble. Man, he's going up because God showed him and told him, go to Jerusalem and show them in Jerusalem what I've showed to you in order that the gospel might be preached in other places other than. So the Apostle Paul goes up to Jerusalem and he tells them what he's been preaching about Christ in all these different languages and in all these different places and in all these different cities and cultures. And this is great about the Apostle, because the Apostle Paul never doubted the truth that God gave to him. Remember, we talked about this last week. Where did the gospel come from? The gospel is the good news from God about the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a man's tradition. The apostle says, I did not get this from man. I was showed this from God himself. And this was a revelation that God gave to him. And the apostle Paul is saying the same thing here. I'm not doubting what God gave me. I'm not questioning, man, the truth that God revealed to me. And I've seen this truth play out now for 14 years in ministry. He even uses in the last chapter, how else can you explain my own conversion? How else can you explain my own belief except that this came from God? The Apostle Paul is not willing to change the gospel for anyone. Man, he's not willing to water down the message of the gospel for anyone. Man, not even for those who seem to be important. Man, not even for people who seem to have power or prestige. The Apostle Paul is not willing to submit the message of the gospel to anyone. But hear me on this point. He's not willing to submit the message of the gospel to anyone, but he is willing to submit himself. The Apostle Paul is not willing to submit the gospel to anyone, but he is willing to submit himself. That's letter A in your outline. There is a humble submission. Look at verse number 2. I went up. Why did he go up? Because God told him to. I went up and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. Look at the end of the verse. Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. The Apostle Paul is willing to have himself be held accountable, man, to those who were, man, more mature in the faith, had known more about the faith, had even walked with the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. The Apostle Paul is very humble in that regard. There are some people who are arrogant. They will not submit to anyone except themselves. Man, they won't listen to anybody else except themselves. Man, if it's not their idea, if it's not their way, then they don't want to have any part of it. Man, those are people that we would call arrogant. There are some people who are arrogant. They won't listen to anybody but themselves. There are some people who are weak. Man, they'll follow anybody who pretends like they know anything about. Man, and they are with every wind of doctrine blown this way and that way, right? They'll just follow anybody. Man, just because it says that they're Christian does not mean that they are preaching the message of the gospel, right? Man, some people are arrogant. They won't listen to anybody. Some people are weak. Man, they'll just listen to everybody and anybody's interpretation of God, anybody's interpretation of eternity, anyone's interpretation of sin, anyone's interpretation of hell or heaven, anyone's interpretation of what God may or may not be like. Man, they'll just follow anybody. Some people are arrogant, don't listen to anybody. Some people are weak, they'll follow everybody. But the Apostle Paul is humble in that he is willing to be held accountable to those who are mature in the faith. And you say, well, why is it that way, Pastor? Look at the very end. Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. That's Paul saying, just in case I mean, I know what God told me, and I know what God said to me, and I know the truth of the gospel, and I am not submitting the truth of the gospel to anyone, but it's possible that me, being the chiefest among sinners, have gotten off track in some way or the other. How many people in the room have ever made a mistake before? Let me see, raise your hand. Not one of those Baptist hand raises either. Not like that, okay? How many of you ever made a mistake before? Let me see, raise your hand. Look around the room. Oh my goodness, you knew church was a bad place, right? And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is saying, I went up to Jerusalem because God told me to. But I went up to Jerusalem, why? In order that I might make myself accountable. In order that I would have someone who would speak truth into my life. Hey, hear me, friend. This is what I need and this is what you need. We need people who are spiritually mature in the faith who speak truth into our lives. Man, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Man, and people in your life who only tell you what you want to hear when you want to hear it, they're no friend at all. Man, that's not helpful at all. Man, we need people who are willing to tell us the truth, man, about ourselves, about what we believe, about God, about our own decision making. Man, the reason it's called a blind spot is because you can't see it. Man, the reason it's called a blind spot is because you're blind to it. You don't know what's there. And so we need people who speak into our lives, who say, listen, you may be getting out of line with this. You may be giving too much time to that. You maybe need to pay more attention to this area of your life. Man, you need people like that in your life. I need people like that in my life. Why? Because none of us are perfect. And the Apostle Paul is saying, lest by any chance I should run or had run in vain. It's possible that I have become sidetracked in. So I'm going to go meet with a group of godly men and have them hold me accountable to what I am teaching and what I am saying, even though I know I got this from God. Man, there's a humble submission in Paul's life. Let me ask you a very personal question. Who is that person for you? Who is that person for you? This is why you need to be involved. Man, this is why I'm involved in connection groups. Why? Because we need people speaking truth into our lives. Man, we need people who are willing to hold us accountable. Man, when it comes to the spiritual nature of our hearts and of our lives. And here's what Paul is saying. Man, the gospel that God gave to me is able to handle an examination from good godly men. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can handle your questions. That's what he's saying. And Paul is willing to submit himself to this, but let her be on this. But there's also this honest struggle. Man, what this tells us is this whole big meeting is about Paul being willing to submit himself to godly leadership, but also this shows us about the real struggle that is happening in the hearts and lives of believers in the first century. Why? Because this is challenging everything they thought they knew about God. Man, this is really shaking everything they thought they understood about the way God works. And let me just tell you, oftentimes when God is at work in our lives, it challenges us. When God is moving and working in our lives, it is normally very challenging. But we should not assume that God's faithfulness means that God is predictable. We should not confuse the two. We should not confuse the idea of God being faithful means that God will always do what I think God should do. How many of you, God has done some things in your life that you didn't even think God was going to do, right? And yet, God is faithful anyway. God is faithful. That may not mean that God is predictable. So just because God is doing something that's challenging, that does not mean that God is not being faithful to you. That does not mean that God abandoned you. Man, even in the first century, God is at work in the church and in that area. And God is moving and working. And yet at the same time, there is this group of godly people who are in pursuit of God, who love God, who want to serve God, who want to give the message of God. And yet, it's very challenging to them. Man, they're really having a difficult time understanding what God is up to. So how do we handle that? Man, how do we go through situations and circumstances that are challenging to us personally, but we know that this is what God is doing because we aren't doing it, but God is? Man, how do we balance that? And the answer is, man, let's get good accountability partners speaking truth into our life. Man, but also let's trust the Lord and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. Man, it's there that we need to learn to trust God. It's there that we need to learn to trust in the Lord. God knows better on how your life should go and on how my life should go. God knows best. And if you're in the room and you're going, yeah, I get it. I'm trying to trust the Lord, Pastor, but I'm really struggling with what God is doing. You're in good company. So was the Apostle Paul. So was Peter, James, and John. Man, they're being challenged by what God is doing in their world and through their lives. Man, but they are holding themselves accountable. When we're going through challenging situations, that is not the time to pull away from good godly influences. That's the time to move toward good godly influences. When we go through difficult seasons, that is not the time to get less counsel. That's the time to get more counsel. When you go through a difficult season, medically, relationally, financially, personally, that is not the time when you need to go to church less. That's the time when you need to go to church more. Man, that's when you need to surround yourself, not isolate yourself from, but surround yourself with people who love you, who will speak truth to you, who will be friendly towards you, and who will be willing to hold you accountable. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul does. There's a humble submission, but there's an honest struggle in his heart about what God is doing in and throughout their lives. So there's the examination and the result. You say, what's the result? The result is verse number 3. Look at verse number 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So they heard the gospel that Paul had been preaching for now 14 years. They listened to the testimony of Barnabas. They listened to the testimony of Titus. And in conclusion, Acts chapter 15, they agree, salvation is by faith through grace. If salvation comes through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And so now Paul is writing back to the church at Galatia, and he's telling them why he made such a bold adventure in the faith. Look at verse number 4. Now the enemies are being revealed. Look at verse number 4. And because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. That verse number 5 reads funny, but verse number 5 is, what it's saying is, we did not give them place, not even for an hour. We did not even listen to them. We did not let them say anything. Why? Because they were revealed for who they were. You say, Pastor, who were they? They were those who had rejected the truth of the gospel. That's why at the end of verse number 5 reads, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. There were those who were opposing the truth of the gospel that Paul just declared to them. There were those who came into the church They were brought in. Isn't that funny language? Man, they were smuggled in to the church by Satan, and they came in for the sole purpose of corrupting the truth. They were sowing tares, they were sowing discord, and they were not doing it quietly. And Paul says, these are men, man, these are men who were actually enemies. All of the language in verse number 5 is military term. They were brought in. They were spying us out. This is spiritual espionage. That's what this is. This is 007 stuff. They were sneaking in, spying us out. Man, hearing about the message we preach and then corrupting the truth of the gospel that we had delivered unto the church. And so three things happen. Number one, their mask is removed. Their mask is removed. Look what Paul says. False brethren. Those are hard words, church. Those are harsh words. This kind of flies in the face of our culture today. We don't really like when people speak with such harsh terms. But Paul is saying, these are no brothers at all. They are false brothers. This group came into the church and they pretended to be this. They spied us out. There was spiritual espionage, and now they're revealed to be who they really are, and that is no brother at all. Paul has no confidence in their profession of faith, and so Paul calls them false brethren. Why? Because as steadfastly as Paul held to the gospel is by grace through faith in Christ alone, these men held to the gospel is Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus baptism, Jesus plus good works, Jesus plus civility, Jesus plus religiousness, Jesus plus, you add it, you fill in the blank. And so as steadfastly as Paul said, it's Jesus plus nothing, these men were saying, it's Jesus plus something. Man, that you need to believe in Jesus, sure, but you have to add all these other things along the way. And so because they made that profession, Paul says these men are false brethren. Now, can I give you a word of warning? We should be very careful about saying who is a true brother or who is a false brother. We should be very careful about saying who is a true sister and who is a false sister. There's no one's salvation that I can be certain of except my own. And there's no one's salvation that you can be certain of except your own. Because I cannot see your heart. You cannot see my heart. And so the only person whose salvation that you or I could confidently speak of is our own. Sometimes in a church, people will say things like, well, do you think they really meant it? Well, that person believed on Jesus. Well, do you think they really meant it? Well, I have no idea what they really meant or what they didn't mean. But neither do you. And all that you have to go on and all that I have to go on is their testimony, their story. What they said they believed at that moment. And man, hearing their testimony, that gives us the understanding or the confidence that that person is or isn't, has or hasn't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we should be very careful about making our minds up about who is or who isn't a child of God. I think when we get to heaven, we'll be surprised at who is there. And I think we'll be surprised at who isn't there. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I go to church? And didn't I give in the offerings? And didn't I sing in the choir? And didn't I do many marvelous works? But my Father will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Man, we should be careful about making our minds up about anyone else's salvation. We can hear their story, yes, and that's exactly what Paul is doing here. Paul heard their reason for why they thought they had a standing for God. Why do you think you have a standing in front of God? And their answer is, I have a standing in front of God because I believe in Jesus and because I follow all of the Jewish traditions and laws. And Paul says, if that is what you are counting on to get you into heaven, then that is not enough. That is not enough, and you are not a brother because you are not a child of God. The only way into heaven is through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. That's it. And I would tell you the same thing. I would tell you the same thing here, sitting in this auditorium. If you are believing in any other thing to get you a standing with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, that is not enough. But today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is the message of the gospel. And there were those who came into the church who were corrupting that message. They were changing that message, and because they changed that message, Paul calls them enemies. So their mask is removed. These are no brothers at all. They're false brothers. But then letter B there, their method was rebuked. Notice their method. They came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Why? So that they might bring us again into bondage. Man, they snuck in and they spied us out. Have you ever met someone who doesn't really go to church, but they feel like it's their job to tell the church all that it should be doing? It seems like I have these conversations weekly. Pastor, what do you guys do for this? And Pastor, what do you guys do for that? And Pastor, what do you guys do for missions? And Pastor, how do you guys approach, engage your community? And Pastor, how do you do this? And I go, man, that's wonderful. What church do you go to? Well, I don't really go to church. I just feel like my job is. And to that person, I say, great. Have a conversation with our assistant pastor, Michael. And hear me on this. If you want to love the Lord, and you want to worship the Lord, and you want to open the Bible, and you want to talk, and you want to grow, and you want to mature in your faith, then you are in a room full of men or women who would love to engage in that with you. But if you only want to come here and declare war and pick a fight and tell us all the things that we should be doing but are not, we don't have any time for that. So stay in your lane. And we'll stay in ours. Here's what they're doing. They're sneaking in. They're fighting this out. And hear me on this point. These people have always existed. Miserable people love the company of more miserable people. Miserable people love the company of more miserable people. And these men are in bondage. So they have no liberty. They have no freedom. They have no joy. They have no love. They have none of this. And so what are they doing? Now they're going around and they're trying to make everybody else just as miserable as them. I don't want to be miserable, do you? And neither did the Apostle Paul. So Paul says, listen what he says, I did not even give them the time of day. That's literally what the phrase means. Verse number 5, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. So what he's saying is, we did not give these people even the time of day. Listen, there are some people in your life who you do not need to give the time of day to. They are not godly. They are not spiritual. They're not encouraging. They're not helping. They're not moving you closer to your relationship with God. They're pulling you farther from your relationship with God. Man, those are the kind of people that you and I do not need in our lives. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And so their motive is revealed. What's their motive? Their motive is to bring us into bondage. Man, their mask was removed, their method was rebuked, their motive was revealed. Third and last, and we're done. Third and last. Man, Paul here at the end of this chapter is entrusted with. He's entrusted with. So there's this examination. There were enemies. And now Paul is entrusted with these resources. Look with me, verse number 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat. So whatsoever, I just love how this verse is. This verse is amazing. But these who seem to be somewhat. These people who seem to be something. Now whatever they were, it doesn't matter to me. Because God accepteth no man's person. For who they seemed to be somewhat in conference, they added nothing to me. This is Paul not speaking arrogantly. This is Paul saying, I went up to the church. I submitted myself to godly authority. I listened. Man, I was struggling with what was taking place. And these men told me these things. But after I listened to what James and Peter and John, man, I listened to what they had to tell me. And what I realized is they added nothing to the gospel that I already knew. He says, they didn't tell me anything that I had not already heard. Well, why is that? Because where did Paul hear the message of the gospel? Paul heard the message of the gospel from Jesus himself. And so these men aren't going to come behind them and then, man, add on to or explain about. Paul says, man, they added nothing to me. They didn't tell me anything about the gospel that I did not already know. Verse number 7, but contrarywise. So they added nothing to me. These people who seemed to be important actually were not all that important because they did not add anything to the message that I already knew. Well, why? Why did they not add that? But what did they do? They did. Verse 7, on the contrary wise, or opposed to that, the opposite of that, not they didn't give me anything. But they did realize when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. This is great news. So what he's saying is the gospel was given to Peter to go and preach to the Jews at Jerusalem, and that same gospel was given to me to go and preach to the Gentiles all around the region of Galatia and, man, to Thomas, northern Africa, and, man, way out into Asia and, man, up into Rome. God gave me that gospel. What are they doing? They're realizing that God has a specific purpose for the Apostle Paul, just like God had a specific purpose for the Apostle Peter. Hear me. Just like God has a specific purpose for you as well. They're saying God is at work using these men in his own way for his own purpose. So three ideas. Number one, there's the recognition of purpose. There's the recognition of purpose. God has a purpose for you and for me. God has a purpose for you at that school. God has a purpose for you in this city. God has a purpose for you in your family. God has a purpose for you. God has something that he wants you to do. God has a reason. God has a purpose. God has an aim for your life. God gave you those talents, those desires, those skills, those abilities, and he gave them to you for a reason. And those reason, that reason God gave, that is your purpose. This is what God wants you to do with your life and for your living, that it might bring him honor and that it might bring him glory. Hey, hear me. God has a purpose for you even today. God gave you breath today. God gave you life today. Man, God has a reason for us even today. So there's a recognition of purpose. But it's not just that. There's a renewed friendship. Look at verse number 8. Man, for the same God who worked in Peter was working in me, is what he says. And then verse number 9, and when James and Cephas, or Peter, so when James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. Man, when I realize the grace that God has given to them, man, then I can give them grace as well. If God can show them grace, can't we show grace? You see the friendship that they're given here. Man, the purpose they found, but now a renewed partnership or a friendship that's given. And then verse number 10, it ends this way. Only, so what was their challenge to Paul? Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was forward to do. So Paul says, I'd already made up in my mind to remember the poor anyway. I'd already decided to do that, but they asked if I would remember the poor. Paul says, they asked that as we go into these Gentile areas, that we would remember those of our brothers or sisters who are struggling. There was a massive famine in Jerusalem at that time, and there was a great need. I'm talking for basic necessities. And so Paul says, when I left Jerusalem, all they asked is that we as Christians, as believers, as brothers or sisters with those in Jerusalem, that we would remember their need and that we would be generous in helping to meet the need that our brothers or sisters have there in Jerusalem. By the way, that's the same thing that we need to remember today. That there are those who have great needs in our world even today. And as a church, we try to do this. I'm thankful for our Eagles ministry. Last week, our Eagles ministry met. We fed 78 people downstairs, gave 78 people a meal, people who were in need. Man, praise the Lord for that. Every Monday from 9 to 11, we open our offices and we give out boxes of cereal and canned goods and items that are preserved. We open our clothes closet. How are we able to do that? There's only one way we're able to do that. And that's because you, as God's people, as this local church, decide we're going to remember those in need. But we can only do that so long as we are generous. So that as God blesses us, man, we want to bless others. That God does not bless you or me as a means as an end to itself. God blesses you, God blesses me, so that we could be a blessing to other people around us. Man, so here's what he's saying. Paul is saying, I want to steward well the resources that God has given to us. I want to use the resources that God has given to us wisely. That's why you can't get a latte in our lobby. I'm not against churches that you can get a latte in the lobby. That's why you're not getting a latte here. Why? Because we want to steward well the resources that God has given to us. There's bigger needs than lattes. There's a world that needs to hear the message of the gospel. Let's get the gospel all over the globe, and then we'll think about adding a latte machine to the lobby. We want to steward well the resources. Now, don't email me and say, well, they use their money from their lattes to send missions. I get it. I understand, and I'm not against them. But this is why we don't do it here. Why? We want to steward well the resources that God has given to us. Our time is short. The need is great. Eternity is closer than you think it is. So let us be diligent about what God has given to us, because you can't take anything with you when you go. But you sure can send it ahead. So lay up for yourselves your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Hear me, individual believers and corporately as a church, we need to be reminded of this. Let us lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Let us be wise, yes. But let's steward well the resources that God has given to us. So how can you help us with that? A couple ways. Man, help us by buying some canned goods. Buying boxes of groceries, bags of groceries, bring them down. Man, if you have a week where God's blessed you in a very special way, man, buy some preservative items from the grocery store, bring them down, drop them off. You can do that at the information desk. You can bring by the office almost any day of the week. It will probably be there. You can drop it off there. Man, this is a way that we can continue to do these things, which we ought to do. We ought to strive to do. The last weekend of the month, we try to have the meal for the needy folks in our community. Come down and serve. Be a part of that. Maybe you'd like to take a Sunday and say, hey, I want to buy all of the lunches that day. I want to provide for them. Maybe God's given you the kind of resources to be able to do that. So do that. If you can't buy them all, maybe you could give a little something here or there. If you want more information on that, you can find any deacon, any pastoral staff member. You can ask, hey, how can I actually help be a part of what Pastor was talking about? They will give you the clear instruction on what you should do and the way that you could be a part of that. These things are great for us to do. Do you not agree? But the only way we can do them is if we remember the poor. If we remember the poor. If we remember that God has blessed us in order for us to be a blessing to those around us. And hear me on this point. When God cannot get the blessing through you, He will stop sending the blessing to you. But when God knows that He can get the blessing through you, He will continue to send it to you. I don't know about you, but I want the blessing of God on my heart and in my life. And so I want to see the way He sees. I want to operate the way He operates. I want to participate in the things that He participated. What mattered to the church in the very first century? Remember the poor. How many of you realize the need in our day is great? It's great. So let us not forget that there are brothers and sisters in need. And maybe God would move us to be generous in one way or the other to help meet that need.